Good morning. What I have for you this morning is a story. If you would listen, it goes like this. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, "Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I could be decorated with detailed carving, and everyone would see my beauty." Then the second tree said, "Someday I will be a mighty ship. I will take kings and queens across the waters and sail to the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull." Finally, the third tree said, "I want to grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me." After a few years of praying that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came up on the trees. When one came to the first tree, he said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." And he began cutting it down. The tree was so happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. At the second tree, the woodsman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard." The second tree was very happy because he knew he was on his way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodsman came up on the tree was frightened because he knew that if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from my tree. I'll take this one." And he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn filled with hay. This was not at all what he had prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings had come to an end. Their third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. The years went by and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then one day, a man and woman came to the barn. She gave birth and placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for the baby, but his manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event and knew that it held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got into the fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the water, a great storm arose, and the tree didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men woke the sleeping man, and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that he had carried the King of Kings in his boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised in the air to die at the top of a hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be as close to God as possible because Jesus had been crucified on it. To sum it up, the first tree wanted to be a treasure chest filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. He was made into a feed box for animals and filled with hay and placed in a barn. Mary gave birth to Jesus and laid him in the feed box, which is the most precious gem ever known. How much closer to Christ can you come? The second tree wanted to be a mighty ship to take kings and queens across the waters He was sold into the shipyard and was certain that he would be a mighty ship, but he was made into a small fishing boat that carried our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. How much closer to Christ can you come? The third tree wanted to be the tallest and straightest tree and be on the hill that everyone could look up to be close to God. When the third tree was cut down, he was frightened because he knew his dreams would not come true to be the tallest, straightest, and tree closest to God. This tree was used later as a cross to put on the hill to nail our Lord and Savior to. How much closer to Christ can you come? In conclusion, remember that when things don't seem to be going your way, always know that God has a plan for you. If you place your trust in Him, He will give you the greatest gifts. Each of these trees got what they wanted, just not in the way they had imagined. We don't always know what God's plans are for us. We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are always best. You know, God gave us His best, so let's in return give Him our best as we partake of this meal this morning. And let's remember our Lord's death, burial, resurrection, and His return to collect His church. How much closer to Christ can you come? Remember, the third tree wanted to grow tall and strong and be close to God. When we partake of this meal, we come close to God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You, Lord, again for this day that You have blessed us with. We thank You, Lord, for this place that we can come into and worship You in spirit and truth. And we thank You, Lord, for each and every soul that is out here in the congregation this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your sweet, sweet Spirit. Father, we pray, Lord, that as we partake of this meal this morning, we ask Your blessings be up on the bread, which is Your broken down body, and up on the juice, Father, which is Your blood. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that You would guide us and direct us in each and everything that we do and say, Father. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone out this morning. Today I'm starting a new series, a three-week short series of sermons I've entitled Our Church, and we're going to talk specifically about the Danville Church over the next 3 weeks. Today we're going to talk about our mission and what a mission is, and we're going to talk about next week about our purpose, and our mission is kind of why we, you know, our mission is what we're supposed to be doing. Our purpose is kind of why we do what we do. And then our vision is kind of what the end goal is. What's the goal if we are on mission and we fulfill our purpose? Our vision is kind of what we want to do. I want to start out with a question because I believe this question is worth asking. And I want us to think about this question deeply. If the Danville Church of Christ closed its doors today, if we decided, you know, this is our last Sunday, we're just going to close the doors and go to church somewhere else or wherever we want, would anyone in this area notice? Better yet, would anyone in this area care? Would it affect or change this community in any way? And that's a valuable question for any church to ask, you know, because if you would close the doors and nobody would notice and no one would care, I'm not sure how much that would affect the community because that church hasn't been affecting the community anyway, good or bad. And so I believe it's a valuable question to ask when we talk about our mission and the mission of the church, what's the church supposed to be doing. We spent, you know, the previous few weeks talking about what the church is, you know, that we're the body of Christ and we're meant to represent Christ here on this earth, and we're supposed to be the church. We're supposed to be the body of Christ in our community, and we're all supposed to serve the Lord. And we talked about being united and unity and how important it is as a church body. But With all that being said, the point of a church to me is to make a difference and to have a mission. Some of you may or may not be aware of this, but the Danville Church of Christ actually turns 125 years old this year in 2018. Though some initial work began in 1892, it was January of 1893 that this church, Danville Church of Christ, was officially organized as the Danville Church of Christ with 16 charter members. Now, I had to do a little digging to find that out, but some of you may or may not have known that. But obviously, back in 1893, somebody felt like there was a need to have a church of Christ, a Christian church, a restoration movement church in Knox County, and particularly in the Danville area. So someone felt called by God to start this work here. And I know this church has had years of success and had moments of problems and had ups and downs over the years. Every church has its ups and downs, just like every person has its ups and downs. But here we are, 125 years later, and this church is still here. But it's one thing to just exist. It's another to thrive. And I believe the way we thrive is understanding what our mission is. Well, what is a mission? When you hear the word mission, first thing I think of is the military, because they go out on missions. But a mission is an act of sending out or an act of an assignment to be carried out. So basically, a mission is being sent out or having an assignment to be carried out. And so the church body has been called out by God and sent out to seek and save the lost and to make disciples. That's what God has called us to do. When Christ died on the cross for our sins and He raised from the dead, He gave the Great Commission to His disciples, to the apostles. And from there, shortly after that, they went to Pentecost and Peter preached. And that's the first recorded sermon we have in the Bible. Many people were baptized that day, and from there, the apostles spread out and began what they called missional journeys, going on missions, and went and was going around preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and establishing churches. And so they had a mission from the very beginning. That's why the church was established, to represent Christ here on earth. He was here for a few years to do what He came to do, and that was to die on the cross for our sins and to save us from the penalty of death and sin and hell. But then He left the calling, the mission of going and continuing to tell people about His gift of salvation to the church. And so we do have a mission. I read recently that a lot of businesses and a lot of companies close their doors, and we see it every day, about companies closing stores or going out of business or filing bankruptcy. And the reason why that happens is because many of these companies lose their mission. They forget why they exist in the first place. They get off track and they don't stay on mission. They don't stay on what they were meant to do. And a lot of churches do that. So what we need to ask ourselves as a church is, what is our mission and what are we supposed to be doing? What is our assignment? Now, I know if you look on the bulletin, on the front of our bulletin, it says mission statement. Many of you know this: know in Christ, grow in Christ, go in Christ, live in Christ, Romans 12:5. I wasn't here then, and some of you may not have been here, but that was a mission statement that was developed back in 1999 here at this church. And I believe, and a mission statement is simply just a sentence or a statement used to help remind us of our mission. There's nothing special about the mission statement itself. It's just so people can see it and know this is why we exist, and it's for our members to look at and be reminded to know, hey, this is why we're here. We're not just here to attend church services. We're not just here to sing songs and take communion and go to Sunday school and Bible study and do the things that we do. All of those things are important, but ultimately we do the things we do because we want to worship and honor God. But we have a mission. Our mission is to reach lost people and make disciples. What a mission means here for the Danville Church of Christ means that me and you, as the Danville Church of Christ, are sent out to find the lost who don't know their way to Jesus Christ. Well, what does lost mean? Lost means unable to find one's way. What that means in biblical terms, it means that there are people out here in this world who don't know Jesus, are not able to find their way to Him. They don't know about His salvation, or they've never been taught about it, or they've rejected it. So they must be led or found by the church. If they're willing to follow Jesus and become followers and disciples of Jesus and become a member of His church. So that's what a lost person is. And what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is a fancy Christian word for learner or follower or student or pupil of Christ. In biblical terms, that means once you become a Christian, once a lost person becomes found in Christ and becomes a Christian, they become a student or a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ, and they become a part of the body. So all of us in here are disciples. We're just at different levels in our discipling. So the important thing for us to ask is, how can we fulfill our mission? How can we grow and learn about Jesus Christ? How can we share this mission with other people? And I believe that's all of us understanding and being on the same page and understanding what our mission is. One of the things that I decided to do was that I wanted to come up with a new mission statement. The mission statement that we had for this church was 20 years old and was probably made by people that are no longer in leadership and no longer here. So I thought, if I'm going to talk about our mission and get back to mission, I wanted to come up with a new statement. And so I came up with this statement: the mission of the Danville Church of Christ is to reach out to the lost in our community so that they can discover Jesus Christ, help new followers develop their relationship with Christ, and encourage members to deepen their faith in Christ. In other words, the mission of the Danville Church of Christ is to help others discover, develop, and deepen their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I chose that, and I try to keep things as simple as possible, and I try to keep things as easy to remember as possible. Danville starts with a D, so I picked three D words that's easy to remember. And I think that helps us to remember things. But also, I just didn't try to shove a word in there because it started with a D. I wanted words to mean something. And there's really three levels here: discovering, developing, and deepening their faith. Well, discovering is someone who's lost that doesn't know about Jesus. And then I think about the developing is once a person becomes a Christian, then they have to begin that relationship and that journey and becoming, understanding what it means to be a Christian, growing in their faith. And finally, the third step is deepening, is where the rest of us are, is that we continually deepen and grow in our faith and understanding of Jesus Christ. So I believe there's kind of three levels. There's the lost, and then there's the new convert, the new Christian, and then there's those that are striving to mature in their faith. And so that's why I picked these three things. And I believe these three areas help us to fulfill our mission. And understand this, every church has the same mission, but no church has a different mission. The mission of the church is the same: to reach the lost and make disciples, to go out baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's every church's mission. Now, churches have different mission statements, but they can have the same mission. It doesn't matter necessarily how you word the mission. But I wanted to come up with something fresh and something exciting and something that we can all grab a hold of, and that we can better understand what our mission is here as the Danville Church of Christ. What's my mission as a member of the Danville Church of Christ? And so I want to look at these three areas a little bit deeper to help us understand our mission. The first one I mention is discovering Jesus Christ. Discovering Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, to me, is part of the mission of the church. When Jesus was asked why He came, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." That's why Jesus said He came. He came to seek and save that was lost. There were people in the world then, and there's people in the world now, who don't know Jesus. Maybe they've heard of Jesus. Maybe they've heard of God. Maybe they have some type of minimal belief or understanding. But believing in God and believing in Jesus is not the same as having a relationship with Him. Coming to church and knowing God and calling yourself a Christian is not the same as surrendering your will and your life to Christ and allowing Him to be Lord of your life. There's a difference. And so there are people out there who are lost. There are people out here in this world who are lost and don't know they're lost, because no one's told them that they're lost. There's also people out there that know they're lost, But for whatever reasons or whatever's going on in their life, they don't feel a need to make things right with God or to get right with God or to accept His gift and those sort of things. There's lots of different reasons, but the point is lost people are lost and they need to discover Jesus Christ. Our mission to seek implies going out. The church literally means the called out. Our job or our role or our mission is not to come and sit in these wonderful chairs, which are very nice and comfortable, but our job is to go out. We can't sit here in this church building and hope and pray people just show up. Even though people do show up, even though people might see our Facebook page or our website and come here looking for a church, they might be in town visiting or on vacation or relatives and they want to go to church. I mean, we have those type of things, but ultimately the responsibility of me and you is to go out and invite people to church or tell people about Jesus. And the way we do that is we build relationships with people. You can reach people that I cannot reach, but God has us in our lives in places where we have an opportunity to share our faith, to invite someone to church. We all, if you have a job, you work with people that need Jesus. If you go to school, you go to school with people who need Jesus. You live in neighborhoods and have neighbors who need Jesus. There's people at the grocery store. There's people you see at the ball games. There's people you coach. There's people you teach. You have patients where you work. You have clients. There's people everywhere in our lives that need Jesus. And your responsibility and my responsibility as members of the body of Christ is to invite those people to know Jesus. And there's no manual of right or wrong or how to do that. I certainly wouldn't encourage you to go up to someone and tell them they're going to hell and they need to hit them over the head with the Bible. That's probably not going to work. I wouldn't encourage you to do that. But I think if people see that Christ has made a difference in your life and that you're different, and that you're not pushy, and that you're genuine, and that you're authentic, and you're transparent. Here's the thing, people in the world, I know there's this misconception, I don't think anybody in the world expects Christians to be perfect. But one thing they do expect, and they should expect, is for Christians to be real, authentic, not fake, not insincere. And so we have an opportunity to do that in our everyday lives, where we work, where we school, where we go for our hobbies and things like that. So it's our job as church members, literally, that's our mission field. We don't have to go to Africa or Mexico or Russia or the inner city, even though there's missions to those types of places and those are worthy missions. Everybody needs Jesus everywhere. But we have a mission field right here in Knox County, right here in this community and the surrounding communities around us, to help people discover Jesus. You might remember in Luke chapter 15, you can turn there, I'm not going to read there for time, but Jesus tells three stories in Luke 15 about lost items. He talks about the lost sheep, he talks about the lost coin, and he talks about the lost son. Well, in the lost sheep, the shepherd has 99 sheep, and he loses one, and he leaves the 99 safe and goes out and gets that one that's lost. Because that one he's not saying the 99 weren't valuable, but he's saying that one was valuable. The same way with the lost coin, the person couldn't find their coin and they tore their house upside down and went and got the neighbors to help and everything to help them find this lost coin because it was valuable. And finally, the most popular story we probably know is the story of the prodigal son, where the son asks for his father, his half of the inheritance for his father's even dead, and takes and runs off and tries to do his own things and squanders it, and then comes crawling back and wants to just be a servant in his father's household. But yet the father runs and embraces him and invites him back in. And what Jesus is trying to say about all of this is, by using the sheep and the coin and the son, he wanted us to know that all lost are valuable, all lost are important, and all lost are loved. Me and you are more important than a coin, even though coin has value, even though we're more important than a sheep, even though a sheep to a shepherd and part of his flock was valuable to him. I don't think it's irony that God calls us sheep and he's our shepherd. Matter of fact, he said he came, he felt sorry, he had compassion on us because we were sheep without a shepherd. So lost things definitely matter to God and they should matter to us. And we need people to understand that God loves them. It doesn't matter their past, it doesn't matter their mistakes, it doesn't matter their poor choices. It even doesn't matter if they're still living with those consequences. God still loves everyone and offers the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ to everyone. But people in this world need to see that we love God and that we love His church and that we want them to be there. And it doesn't matter the color of their skin, it doesn't matter what social class they live in. I envision looking out in this church and seeing all these seats full and seeing people that are dressed up and people that are not dressed up and people that come from all different sides of town and backgrounds, because that's ultimately what the church is all kinds of different people with different personalities and different types of things about them that makes them different and unique. And so I want us to begin having that mission in our mind, that my mission is to get out there and help people discover Jesus Christ. We can't sit here and wait for them to come to us. We're instructed to go. We represent Christ as His church here in Danville, and we want to go out and through our day-to-day interactions look for opportunities to help people discover Jesus Christ through our love and through our service and through our relationships with them. Which brings me to my second thought in our mission. Not only are we to help people discover Jesus, but once people become Christians, we need to help people develop their relationship with Christ. This is probably one of the biggest things that churches fail to do. Many churches work really hard at bringing people in and inviting people to church and getting them to come. Then once they have them, once that person or people decide to give their life to Christ and they get baptized, it's like we give them a hug and pat them on the back and say, have a good life. And that's not what we're meant to do. We have a responsibility beyond just leading them to Christ. First of all, Christ saves people. We don't. God will use us to lead people to Christ, but Christ does the saving. We're just a vessel, just a tool that He uses. But more importantly, we have a responsibility and a role once a person becomes a Christian to disciple them. One person discovers Jesus Christ and they accept the gospel message and they become a Christian and they get baptized, but baptism is just the beginning. Baptism is where they start their relationship with Christ. They've accepted the gift of His salvation, but then they enter into a committed relationship with Him. All of us are familiar with the Great Commission. That ultimately is our mission. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and make is the Great Commission. So that's part of that, is the going and finding the lost. But the second part of that is making disciples. We need, as students of Christ, all of us that are Christians are disciples, we need to help disciple other people to help them be disciples. And even though each of us in here in this room this morning are at different levels, some of you have been Christians for 40 or 50 or 60 years even. Some of you, maybe you've been Christians for a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. It doesn't matter. We're all at different levels. We're all in different places in our relationship with Christ. But we all still need to grow and continually grow in our faith, especially those that are new to their faith. And it's up to us to help them. No one should be expected to, and some of you may have, maybe you've been in this situation. I know I have. I know Cheryl has. But there's been times where I've taken a job, and some of you did this, and they just they don't really give you any training. They just kind of throw you to the wolves. It's funny. You get thrown to the wolves, and you're supposed to expect to learn everything on your own and not have proper training. That's difficult to do. And it's hard enough to be a Christian in this world when there's constant temptations. And still, if you think about it, when a person becomes a Christian, they're still at the infancy stage of being a Christian. So they're still leaving one world and one lifestyle and being raised and taught or thinking a certain way, and now they've got this new way of life and this new thinking and this new, and they need help in that you know, to leave them by themselves is we're not helping them to develop their relationship with Christ. And we all need people to come alongside of us and mentor us and guide us and help us through that process until we get to the point where we're able to help those people. But you see how it's an ongoing process. You know, people, we want people to disciple us when we're new Christians. And then once we get to a certain point, we can begin that we can help someone. And it's really neat If any of you've ever got to lead someone to Christ and see them get baptized, and then you got to be a part of helping encourage them and mentoring them and helping them in their faith and seeing them grow. There's nothing greater than seeing someone do that. But we need people in our church that are willing to do that. I don't believe it's just the minister's job. It's not just the elder's job. I preach and teach. The elders teach and shepherd. And we all have roles to play and participate in that. But I believe it's everyone's responsibility to make disciples. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to My teachings, you are really My disciples." Well, if we truly are His disciples, then we should want to hold to His teachings of discipling other people and making disciples. Making disciples is not just leading someone to Christ. Making disciples is understanding that I'm a student and I need taught, that I need to learn and I need to grow. And I got bad news for you, people that don't like school and don't like education. Being a Christian is a lifelong learning. We're always going to be in school, spiritually speaking, because we're never going to come to a point where we've learned everything or know everything or have arrived at everything. But I really believe we should be lifelong learners anyway in life, because if we're not learning, we're not growing. That's true for life, and that's true for our spiritual walk. But the difference between this life and the spiritual life is this life is just ends when we go to the grave, but eternity is a lot bigger picture. So we should be living for eternity and doing things that have eternal consequences in mind. And so we need to see the importance of helping disciple people. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are My disciples if you love one another." Jesus says, if we love one another, people will know you're My disciples. I will know you're My disciples if you love one another. So one of the ways that we can love someone is to help them in their faith as they grow. There are people in this congregation that need some mentoring and need some guidance. Be that person if you have a relationship with them. If we have new people come in, make an effort to try to help them along the way. We love God and we love others by discipling others. We all need it. And though in the future, one of my goals is to develop a discipling program where we are a little more prepared to do that, we still have a responsibility individually as Christians to help disciple one another. The Scripture tells us to encourage one another, to love one another, be patient with one another, put up with one another, or bear with one another. So I believe we also need to disciple one another. The third part of this mission, not only discovering and developing, but thirdly, deepening our faith. And all of us who are Christians are in this category, because we all should desire to want to deepen our faith. That's the whole idea of becoming a Christian, is not just being baptized, not just being saved, not just getting a free ticket to heaven. It's that I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. I got to know Christ and what He did for me on the cross and the gift God gave me through His Son, but now I want to know God on a deeper level. We don't understand the awesomeness that me and you get to participate in. Back in the Bible days, in the Old Testament, people didn't have a relationship with God. They had to go through a priest. They weren't allowed to be in God's presence. And there was very few people in the Old Testament that even got to talk to God. Moses got to talk to God, and David, there was people that got to talk to Him, but that wasn't an everyday thing. However, when Jesus came into the picture and fulfilled the law and died on the cross for our sins and resurrected and defeated death and sin and hell, and the church was established, guess what? All of that changed. Now, each one of us, not only when we were baptized do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God, the Spirit dwells inside of us, but we have access to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that me and you can talk to God. We have, in America, most of us have multiple Bibles. I probably have a half a dozen Bibles, not counting the apps on my phone and the software on my computer, of Bible translations. We have access to God's Word more than most places. So we have a unique access to God that they would have loved to have had in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. So we need to take advantage of that by deepening our faith, our knowledge, our understanding of God, because if we deepen our knowledge and understanding of God, guess what's going to happen? We're going to sin less. We're gonna make less mistakes. We're gonna make better choices. We're gonna be better Christians. We're gonna be better followers. We're gonna make a better impact for the church and the community. Part of discipleship is not just helping new converts grow in their faith, but it's also seeing that all Christians are growing and learning in their faith. Those of us who are not new Christians or new converts, we have an opportunity throughout the rest of our lives to continually grow. I know as well as you that there's times where I look at scriptures that I've read 1,000 times and I see something different, or God teaches me something. I shared in Sunday school this morning something I learned this week about 1 Corinthians 13. So God is constantly teaching us and providing opportunities for us to teach and grow. Maybe the reason God doesn't reveal more things to us is because we're not reading His Word like we should. You know, people sit around and say, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what this, you know. Well, what did we read a couple weeks ago? How to know what God's perfect, pleasing will is. To renew our minds. So, renewing your minds is learning and growing and using your mind. Kicking the dust not only off our Bibles, but off our minds so that we can deepen our faith. The deeper we get in our faith, the more benefit we are to God and His kingdom. The more we're able to do. Wednesday night I shared in Bible study about the story of Philemon. And Paul said this in Philemon 1, verse 6. He said this to Philemon, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we share for the sake of Jesus Christ. Our goal as Christians is not just to get saved. Our goal is not just to attend church. Our goal is to be the church. But more importantly, our goal is to be the church by helping others come to know Christ and to be discipled. But we can't do that if we aren't maturing and growing and deepening our faith. My first full-time youth ministry, I had a slogan in that youth group, and it's always came to mind over the years, but I used it in that first ministry, and that slogan was, changing others by changing ourselves. We can't change others if we don't change ourselves. And if we change ourselves, then we're able to make a difference in other people's lives. And so part of that is discipling ourselves and deepening our faith. And in deepening our faith, we can give people the answers to questions that they may ask. Scripture tells us we should always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. Peter said that. So what are me and you doing to grow in our faith? What are we doing to grow in our knowledge and understanding and our wisdom and our gifts and our worship? What are we doing to mature in our faith and build up the body of Christ? This is why I believe the Hebrew writer said this about God's Word being solid food. Hebrews 5:14, the Hebrew writer said, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. We all know that babies need milk. And that babies can't eat solid food till sometime later, till they continue to grow physically and their bodies are able to handle solid food. Well, Christians are the same way. If you've been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years, even 5 years, you really shouldn't be still on milk. You should be able to, as a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer said, you ought to be teaching people. By this point, you ought to be teaching other people, but you still need elementary teachings yourself. And so the Hebrew writer was kind of scolding the Hebrews that they weren't moving very far along in their faith. They were still babes. And so God doesn't want all of us to stay babes. He wants us to grow and mature and be solid in our faith because that's what leads people to Christ. That's what makes disciples, is mature Christians. So I want to close with this. The mission of the Danville Church of Christ is to reach out to the lost in the community so that they can discover Jesus Christ, we can help new followers develop their relationship with Christ, and we can encourage members to deepen their faith. So I close with the same question I started with this morning. If the Danville Church of Christ closed its doors today, would anyone notice? Would anyone care? Would it affect or change this community in any way? And I want to be able to say that the Danville Church of Christ knows what their mission is. They're fulfilling their mission. We're about the Lord's business every day, doing what we were called to do, and that's to reach lost people and make disciples. And if that's the case, this community would miss this church. People would notice and people would care, and this community would be negatively affected if the Danville Church of Christ ceased to exist if we closed our doors today. So it is my goal for this community to need this church, and it's my goal for us as Christians to take our faith seriously and take our role in the church seriously and be on mission. So never forget that our mission is to seek and save the lost, and let this discover, develop, and deepen phrase be a reminder to you always what our mission is as a church. We're going to offer our invitation now, and if anybody needs to respond to the invitation in any way, we're going to sing an invitation song. We're going to sing Jesus Calls Us, page 375. And you can stand and sing. If anybody needs to respond, you can meet me up front. Thank you.